is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. And it's a great honor to have you on the show tonight. Welcome, Deepak Chopra.
Thank you.
Yes, this is Uri.
Hi, Uri. It's Nicole Whitney calling News for the Soul. Welcome to News for the Soul, Robert Allen.
Thank you, Nicole. It's great to be here with you tonight.
Why are you here? We're talking to Carolyn Mace about Sacred Contracts, one of her many best-selling books. Welcome to the show, Greg Braden.
Well, good evening, Nicole.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show. And we are live. I can't believe it. It's been a week of the New York station being down, but we're apparently not down now. We're back living in the lights with Jessie B. Right now, let's bring her on to reintroduce herself, her show, and what's up for today. Welcome back, Jessie.
Hi, Nicole. Thanks. Fingers crossed everything keeps itself up and running.
Yeah.
As Nicole mentioned, this is Living in the Light with Jessie B. I am the owner of Serenity Intuitive, which is a spiritual coaching and intuitive advising practice in the Pacific Northwest. And I thought today we could have some fun talking about crystals and stones. Excuse me.
The floor is yours.
Okay, perfect. I have loved crystals and stones from as early back as I can remember. I remember walking with my mom and with my head down looking for any cool rock I could find and picking it up and putting it in my pocket and just having stones everywhere imaginable. In fact, I think my mom used to get kind of mad at me because they'd be in my pockets when she would go to do laundry. But, you know, stones and crystals are a really easy way for people to work with energy and also to sort of start to hone in their intuition. So I thought today we could talk about them. That would be a lot of fun. If you would like to call in, you may call into the show at 646-595-4274, or you can email us at ontheair@telus.net. And I'd love to hear what people have to say about their favorite stones and crystals. A little history. I mean, mankind has used stones and crystals throughout recorded human history and probably even before. We've used them as talismans, amulets. We've used them for healing and protection. We've used them in ceremonies. The Egyptians and many other cultures used them to assist people in the afterlife. And, of course, they've always been used as symbols of power and wealth. They've been used by priests, shamans, healers, witches, and really anyone. People in medieval times used to sew them into their clothing for protection while traveling. And they've had a long... Many stones have had a long association with the zodiac. So, but how do you actually work with them? Well, you can use them in grids. Grids are kind of fun, and I encourage anybody that wants to work with stone and crystal grids to give it a try. There's all different kinds of grids. gosh, I just lost my train of thought. Oh, there are grids for working with your chakras, grids for working with and clearing your aura. You can set up a grid for stress relief. I have friends who have grids that they set up to clear their home. So just experiment and come up with your own grid. I mean, that's the fun of working with crystals and stones. You can use your imagination and the sky is the limit. Healing is another big thing that people use crystals and stones for. You can use them in, like I said, healing grids. You can make gem remedies with them. You can make gem essences and elixirs. I have a smudge spray that I use, and part of the recipe involves using two different stones. So, again, how you use them is pretty much endless. Your imagination is the only thing limiting you. And the very basic way that you can work with stones and crystals is just to carry one with you. So you can just stick one in your pocket and borrow and call on the powers and properties of that stone. Like I said, people that travel would sew stones into their clothing for protection. One of the stones that I think was used a lot for that was jasper, and I love jasper. That's one in the area where I live that's easily found just by going for a walk. Other ways that you can use them is through divination. So having a crystal pendulum, or another way of using divination is to do what's called the crystal bag. So you put a bunch of stones that you have properties that you're wanting to know more about in a bag, and you ask your question, and then you reach into the bag, and whichever stone makes its way into your hand, when you pull it out, you can look up the properties of that stone. Or another way to use the crystal bag is you can just hold the stone in your hand after you've selected it. Close your eyes and meditate on whatever that stone would like to tell you. I used to use the crystal bag a lot. I haven't used it recently. But now that I'm talking about it, it does seem like fun, and I might give it a try after today's show. Lots of stones are used in rituals and ceremonies and in spells. The biggest ceremony that just happened recently was the coronation of King Charles, and stones played a big role in that. In the coronation crown, there's many famous stones, and in the state scepter, there's also a very large diamond. So they all have properties that were put, that made them be chosen to be put into those specific crowns and used in those specific ways. You can also use stones as protection. So you can wear them. You can also place them at the entrance or exit of your home. You could set up, like I said, a home grid. So you could put them in the four corners of your home for protection. I have a little vial that can hold stone chips in it, and I have those on my dog's collars, so as a way of protection for them. So once you have decided you're going to work with stones and crystals, you will need to awaken them. And that is activating them to work with your specific vibration. And you can do that in a couple of different ways. You can them with intention. So by holding them and saying that you're requesting that they work with you for the highest and greatest good, for whatever the purpose is that you chose that stone. You can wear them so that they can align with your energies. And another way to activate them is to put any new stones that you have with stones that you have already activated. And that will help attune them to your energies. Another thing that you should do with all of your stones is cleansing them. When I first started working with stones, when I was using them for specific purposes, I didn't know that you should cleanse them, and so I didn't, and I actually had a stone that I worked with a lot, and I really liked it, and one day when I was working with it, it just cracked in half, and I couldn't figure out why that had happened. And then doing a little bit of research in the various books that I had and talking with other people who work with stones, they were like, well, have you ever cleansed them? And I thought, no, I don't even know how to do that. And so they explained to me that it absorbs a lot of negative energy while you're working with it. It can actually crack the stone or break the stone. So you should cleanse them periodically. So I was like, great, how do I do that? So what I was taught was three different ways to cleanse them. And then I have a fourth that I now use. And so the first one was to hold them under running water. The person who taught me actually had a creek on their property, and they would go and hold them in the creek. But most of us don't have a creek nearby, so just holding them under the faucet of running water helps to cleanse them. You can also place them in water in sunlight or moonlight. If you're going to use sunlight, only leave them out in the sunlight in the water for about half an hour. If you're going to use moonlight, then, you know, leave them out overnight. You can cleanse them with sound. Sound baths are great, not just for people, but for stones. And then the other one that I now use most frequently is I have a bowl of Himalayan salt, and I place them in the salt overnight, and the salt acts as a cleanser for them. And then the last one that I do for the stones that I don't use a lot but like to display is that I have a stone that is a cleansing stone that I place in the middle of my display. And so it acts as a cleanser for all the stones around it. And that one's a really simple way. If you're not going to display them, then when you do store them, I would suggest wrapping them individually in a soft cloth or tissue. I choose to display mine because I just love how most of them look. So I have a small bookshelf that I have basically turned into my stone altar. And so that has all of my stones displayed. But if you're going to do that, make sure, again, that you keep that out of direct sunlight, because some stones actually can fade in color if they're left in direct sunlight. A lot of ways that people use crystals and stones, and you may not have thought about this, is adding them to jewelry or amulets and talismans. So we often have rings that have stones in them, necklaces, earrings, and I bet most people have never even thought about the energetic properties of the jewelry that they have. But all stones have energetic properties, and so wearing them in jewelry is a fantastic way to work with them, and probably the way that most people end up working with them if they're not specifically setting down with an intention. So now you know how to, a little bit of how to work with them, but how do you choose them? Right? So, like I said, it could be as simple as going out for a walk in nature and keeping your head down and an eye out for a stone that piques your interest, and then picking it up and trying it out. But probably, if you're trying to do this with intention, probably the best thing to do is determine what it is that you want to do with a stone, and then look up crystal works with whatever your intention is. A really great book to do that with is called The Crystal Bible by Judy Hall. And it lists various stones and crystals and their properties, their color, what they look like, how common or rare they are, where they're found in the world. And then she lists their attributes, how to use them for healing, where to wear them on your body, and then if the stone comes in many different kinds of colors, then she talks a little bit about the specific colors. And I love, love, love this book. I use it all the time. And then there's many others. There's even websites that you can go to and look up the meanings of stones or the specific attributes or how they're used in healing. And those are all great resources. Another thing that a friend of mine does is she lets the stones come to her. So she, it always amazes me. She puts an intention out there that she wants to, I'm going to use weight loss as an example. She wanted to lose some weight and she thought working with a stone might help. So she just put it out there, and a few days later, she was out and about running errands, and she looked down on the ground next to her car, and there was a earring that someone had dropped that or lost that had an amethyst in it. And so she picked it up and went home and looked it up, and sure enough, amethyst is a stone that is recommended to help with weight loss because it helps calm mind and let you not feel so emotionally attached to the outcome of something. You can also let them come to you, like I said, by walking through nature. One of my favorite things to do is go to a local gem shop and just sort of stand in the middle of the shop and see where I'm being pulled to, and then looking and holding the gems there. So if you're in a gem shop, one, that can be a little overwhelming for a lot of people, but it's a good place to start. Go around and pick up stones and hold them. And the particular store that I go to has bins full of all of the same kind of stone. And I'll actually pick up, one at a time, but I'll pick up a bunch of them to find the one that resonates the most with me. And then that's my stone. That's the one I pick and I take home with me. You can also find them online. And so that makes it a little harder because you can't hold them, but you can still feel whether or not you resonate with them. Something interesting that's happened as humans and the earth has increased its and theirs vibration, stones and crystals have increased their vibration along with the planet. And so I find that stones that people didn't work with a few years ago, people are being drawn to because they are such high frequency stones and great for working with this new earth energy. So that's really the basics of, how to work with them and how to choose them. And I could go and list a bunch of my favorite stones and what their attributes and qualities are. But I'm curious, do we have any emails or phone calls with anybody with questions about stones or crystals?
I'm just amazed that we both got on the board. So let's, nothing as yet. So I would just best modus operandi is to barrel on through. It's sounding great and loving the vibe.
Perfect. Well, I'm going to talk about my very favoriteest stone, which for a long time I completely shunned because I didn't, I don't know why I completely shunned it, but I did, but for the longest time. But now it is literally my favorite stone, and that is tourmaline, and specifically black tourmaline. I mean, I like all of them, but black tourmaline is great. It's a cleansing stone. So when I had mentioned earlier about how you clean your stones, it's the one I use to clean all of my other stones. Its attributes are for purification and transformation of dense energy into a lighter, higher vibration. And who wouldn't like that? It's an awesome protection stone. So it protects from psychic attack, emotional or mental abuse. When I was working at a place that I had a very abusive boss, I started my pocket all the time, and within a few days of doing that, she stopped bothering me and moved on to other people. So that was pretty cool. I also said that I have a smudge spray that I make and to clear out dense energy, and it is the most important stone in that spray. So it's just in the bottle with the spray, and obviously it's imparting its properties into that mixture. And so when you spray it, you're getting the essence of the tourmaline. I also use it when I work with my clients during sessions because it helps raise their vibration so that any messages, knowledge, or information from spirit can more easily come through. I have found that it even helps them keep their vibration high for the next 2 or 3 days. It's such a powerful stone. Like there's something else I need to say about it. So a friend of mine uses one at the entrance to her home, and she's actually buried it underneath the walkway right at her front door. So it keeps low, dense energy out. It protects her house and everybody in it. It's pretty great. This is not a stone that I've worked with a lot, but I have a lot of friends who really love it, which is selenite. And selenite is a pretty high frequency stone. It gives you clarity of mind. It opens the crown chakra. It's a link to assessing the light body or the subtle body, which is another name for it, which is the vehicle for your soul and your higher consciousness. I have a friend who puts a selenite stick in front of her TV to absorb the negative energy from the television shows or news, which I thought was a very creative way to use it and something I would not have thought of myself. Tourmaline also, going back to that, can be used to help clear electromagnetic fog and help dissipate electromagnetic fields. So if you live in an area where there's high EMF, or you have an area of your house that has high EMF, putting tourmaline there would be great. And apparently selenite. Another fantastic crystal to work with. Don't give quartz a second thought, because it is the most abundant mineral on the planet, but there's reason for that. And there's so many kinds of quartz, but I'm talking right now about clear and white quartz. It is the most powerful healing stone and an energy amplifier. And there's a reason that they use it in microchips and really anything else, because it can amplify energy. High-end watches still use a quartz crystal to in their mechanism, but also as the cover of the watch. So very, very high frequency. It can be used with other stones to aid in healing, increase vibration, and regulate energy. So I had mentioned in my spray, I use 2 stones. Well, that second stone is quartz, clear quartz. And then another thing that it can do is it can store information kind of like a computer. And actually, a lot of the newer technologies in computers are actually trying to replace standard hard drives with quartz drives in order to be able to store way more energy, data. probably energy too, but data is what I meant to say. The seven crystal skulls, if anybody's familiar with those, are all made from clear quartz, and they are said to contain the knowledge of the universe. And people who have been around, not all seven have been located, but if you have, and one of the ones that has been found and is in private hands, people can go and visit it. And the people who have said that it vibrates at such a high frequency, and they just feel like there's so much knowledge in that skull, but trying to access it has remained elusive. A stone that I actually wear a lot and have loved since I was a child and didn't know why, is garnet. And so garnet re-energizes the chakras. It purifies and balances energies. And it can also help with past life recall. When I was doing a lot of healing work for myself and trying to heal past life trauma and stuff, I wore my garnet necklace all the time. And I just love it. I think it's, well, one, I think it's really pretty. I think it's a much prettier red than rubies, but I know it's not as quote unquote valuable, but I love it. And it can come in all different colors, which I don't think a lot of people realize, but you can get it in pink and green and orange and yellow and black along with red. And it's not very expensive. You can find all sorts of jewelry with it. It's a regeneration stone. Let's see what else. It inspires love and devotion. So that's kind of fun. Let's see. I just pulled out my crystal Bible. Let's see what Judy Hall says. And it has a strong link with the pituitary gland and can help stimulate expanded awareness and past life recall, as I said. It can also activate other crystals, amplifying their effect. So if you wanted to activate your crystals, you could put them next to a garnet. So before I go through some of my other favorite stones, Nicole, do you have any favorite stones? Can't hear her. Hopefully everything is still working. All right.
Oh, I just couldn't find the right button. Sorry.
Okay.
I have a
good
question about stones, because I like everything sparkly and shiny. And,
well, right. Yeah.
Is it possible to have but is it possible to have too many that sort of cancel out the benefits?
Ah, that is a great question. You can have ones where they don't cancel each other out, but they don't necessarily work harmoniously together. So my personal belief is, and experience is, that you can wear as many as you like, and as long as they're attuned to you, it's all good. But if you're trying to work on a specific thing and you have one stone that really is used for that purpose, and then you have another stone that might be used for the opposite purpose, I wouldn't necessarily then wear them together or use them at the same time, because then you're just having to work harder and they're having to work harder. But there's a lot of stones that you can use together because the secondary stone acts as an amplifier. So that's why I say that's been my experience, is that, that you can, as long as they're attuned to you, you can wear them as many different ones as you want. I know there's a lot of jewelry that puts, you know, a bunch of stones together. There's a lot of chakra jewelry that has a whole bunch of different stones together. And I don't really see any problem with it. Have you had an experience where you felt like they were canceling each other out?
Not really, no. I was curious, you know, if there was a too much line.
Yeah. No, well, you know, I forget. Was it George Burns' wife, Gracie? She didn't say this in regards to stones. It was more with jewelry. But she would be getting ready to go out or go on stage, and she'd put on all of her jewelry, and then she would take a look in the mirror and realize that was too much, and she would take one thing off.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it'd be a chance, a course of, you know, do you need to wear the necklace, the earrings, the bracelet, the pin, and the ring? Maybe not, but I don't think you're going to cancel out the effects of any one stone by wearing too many different kinds.
Okay, that makes sense. Thank you.
Yeah. Do you have a particular stone that's your favorite? Or that you just always are drawn to if you see it?
No, I like everything. I don't have a favorite color or favorite stone or favorite, you know?
Yeah.
I like everything.
Yeah. No emails, no phone calls yet. So, all right, then I'm going to continue on. Oh,
yeah,
go ahead.
But we're on the air when we supposedly shouldn't be. So the station in New York has been down. This is the first show we've had all week since Monday.
Wow. All right. Well,
yeah,
apparently
so,
the Stones needed to get their message up. Yeah.
Right.
All right. Well, another stone that I've really started to like a lot recently is peridot. And it's this really pretty green, almost like a spring green color. Love it. Actually just got a vintage ring that has a peridot in it. And so it's sitting in salt as we speak, being cleansed. So peridot can ward off the evil eye. It protects your aura. It releases toxins on all levels. So body, mind, soul, subtle body, auric field. It's great for that. And it also helps you release old baggage. I don't know about you, but I don't know anybody that doesn't have at least a little bit of old baggage that they could probably release. So if you're wanting to do that, maybe check out getting a peridot. One that is sort of synonymous with Native Americans is turquoise. And turquoise is a really strong protection stone. It's been used in amulets since ancient times. The Egyptians used it. There's turquoise in King Tut's mask. And it also helps promote spiritual attunement. So that's probably the biggest reason why Navajo shaman and chiefs would wear it. Plus, it's just pretty. And then I'm going to talk about diamond because most people have diamond jewelry and they probably don't think about diamonds and being able to work with diamonds in the way that you would any other stone. But because everybody's usually wearing one, I want to talk about it a little bit. So it's a stone of manifestation. It strengthens the bond between a husband and wife, which is probably why it's synonymous with engagement rings, although it didn't always used to be. Sapphire actually was the stone for engagement rings in the medieval times. But it can help you bring your life into a cohesive whole. It's obviously, it's a symbol of wealth, right? But it can also be used to attract abundance. And the saying goes, the larger the diamond, the more abundance there is. I don't know if that's exactly true, but, you know, sounds good. It's also great for blocking electromagnetic stress and for protection against cell phones, which I wasn't aware of. So that's kind of cool. And it's also an amplifier of energy, and it never needs recharging. So that's pretty cool. And it increases energy of whatever it comes into contact with. So using it with other crystals is a great way to help amplify their power and attributes. But it is not a discriminant amplifier, so it can also amplify negative energy. So keep that in mind when you're working with it. And it's also one of the few stones that actually can help amplify the properties of metal. So, you know, if it's set in platinum or white gold, then it amplifies their properties as well. And it helps with being able to access those things. Another one that is kind of synonymous with Asian cultures is jade. And jade comes in a huge variety of colors, green jade and almost white. It can be from very dark green to almost white. It is very prized. It is a stone of serenity. It's associated with the heart chakra and helps release negative thoughts and negative self-image. So that's a pretty good stone to work with if you have a lot of negative self-talk or you are pretty hard on yourself, then try working with jade. And then one that I really, really like, I think it's overlooked a lot, is also very common in the area that I live in, is petrified wood. So it helps ground high vibrations to the earth. So it's great for when you want to bring in high energy. It's great for helping ground you and the room. If you're doing that sort of work, it also is fantastic for helping you find a mentor in Akashic record work. And then the last one I want to talk about is not a particular type of stone or crystal. It can be any stone or crystal, but they're called holy stones or hagstones, and they're any stone that has a hole in it. A naturally occurring hole, so not one that's drilled out by man. And I have found a number of these over the years, and they are fantastic because if you hold them up and you look through the hole, they can help you see alternate timelines and connect you with your ancestors. They are called hagstones in the Celtic tradition because it was believed that only hags or witches could work with them. but I find that anybody can work with them, and they're pretty great to use for doing that sort of work if you want to connect with your ancestors or see an alternate timeline. Like if you are wanting to know if you have a decision to make and if you go one direction or the other, what could happen, then using a holy stone is fantastic for that. I think we are getting pretty close on time, so I just want to check one more time if we've gotten anybody calling in or emailing.
We're actually at the final 5-minute mark, so it's a perfect time for wrapping up and shameless self-promotion.
All right. Well, I hope that you've enjoyed listening to me ramble on about stones and crystals. They are one of my favorite things, and I hope this has inspired you to go out and pick out some stones and crystals of your own to work with, or pick up a book on them. There's lots of books out there. Thank you for taking the time to listen today. I greatly appreciate it. And if you are intrigued and would like to work with me for spiritual life coaching or working on your spiritual awakening, being attuned to your gifts, or if you just want an intuitive reading, then you can find me at serenityintuitive.com, or you can email me at serenityintuitive@gmail.com. And I have just recently made available an ebook on my website for purchase on numerology. So if you want to learn the basics of numerology, check out my new ebook, Essentials of Numerology. Again, you can find that on serenityintuitive.com. And I thank everybody for taking the time today. And I'm very thankful that we were able to get on the air today.
As am I. I was actually visibly shocked. We did it. I kept holding the space. So that's just what you got to do sometimes. All right. Well, thank you for today, and be well. We'll see you next time. Jessie B.
Great. Thank you.
She's all linked up at newsforthesoul.com, and we're back with more right after this quick reset break.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.